Good morning to each one of you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being our God, for being our Creator and our Redeemer. God, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. Pray that your truth would come out and, God, that it would resonate with each one of our hearts and that we would be able to live our lives in accordance with your will, and that we could do it with joy. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together. Pray that you would be glorified through our meeting together here. In Jesus' name, amen. So I feel a little bit like I have some scattered thoughts, but hopefully you can follow along. What I want to speak about this morning is living in the Spirit, and the essence of that is letting Christ live in us. I have a description of the gospel here, which I came up with this morning, and I hope it can help give some framework to what I'm sharing. So number one, God designed human life to glorify himself through God indwelling humanity. Number two, man left God's design and tried to decide for himself what was beneficial individually. Number three, God chose a people to exemplify the wisdom and blessings of his ways externally and to lay a framework to bring about his redemption plan. Four, God came and lived as a human, showed us what a God-indwelled human looks like, and to abolish the chains of sin that held every human captive through the perfect sacrifice. Number five, Christ rising from the dead and returning to heaven enabled his Spirit to indwell all those that are part of his body. Six, God desires himself to be the life that indwells each one of us and has promised to indwell us if we lay down our sin and ourselves and recognize him to be the God that he is. In essence, to believe. So I guess I want to talk a little bit about the law and what the law is. I feel like it's really easy to get trapped into a law thinking, which can be good and can be bad depending on how you're looking at it. So there's two ways to take any law. Somebody last Sunday was talking about the law, and it hit me that there's two aspects to every law, two perspectives. And I think how you view a law makes all the difference in how much joy you can get out of seeing that law. So the one way is a rule or set of rules that must be obeyed or you get punished. I think we can think about this aspect by picturing what people to go to prison for. If you're abusive, or if you murder someone, or if you're dealing drugs or drunk driving, these all have a punishment following the disobedience of them. or you can view a law as a characteristic of life that makes things work out well. I think examples that highlight this aspect are like the natural laws. So gravity or inertia or magnetism. I mean, very few people try to break those laws, and when they do, I guess they do get punished, but it's more like life works because things that get dropped fall. And because if you're moving, you tend to stay in motion. And because magnets stick together. So these are things that are explained through science. Other examples are things that don't really have a good or bad, except that the one way is normal. I guess you could call this cultural or a cultural law or something. So like driving on the right side of the road. It's a law. You can choose to go against that, but it really makes life work out well if everybody just drives on the right side of the road. And I think, I mean, in essence, if nobody deals drugs, that's helpful too. But driving on the right side of the road highlights more of a just that it's the way things work. Or a rigid work schedule so that people know when they're supposed to show up at work. Or things like, I can't even think of the word, spoons going on the right side of your plate. It's just a normal way that life works. If we are trying to keep ourselves from doing anything that will get us punished, it will be a very easy and almost mandatory way to live continually in fear that we are missing something, or a pride that we got it all right. If we realize that God has designed life to work, and He has revealed to us some of the characteristics of life working normally, then we can be free to embrace these laws of nature as something helpful even when it feels restrictive. The only reason they seem negative to us is because we don't see clearly. If we think that life would be better without gravity, it's probably because we haven't pictured very well what life would be like without gravity. When God says that something is the way things should work and we want it to be different, it's because we're not seeing clearly. If we always had God's wisdom and always saw life from His perspective, living out His commands would be natural and normal. I was thinking about the temptation that Satan brought to Eve. I was thinking about how it was only possible because she didn't see clearly how God's ways work. And I was thinking about, He said, "Ye shall be as gods." And that was really already fulfilled because God was living in them. They were the bodies and God was living in them. And there wasn't really anything to gain by being like God. Temptation comes when we begin to think that somehow life is going to be more beneficial for us if we do something that is not normal or something that's not right. Either what God describes or prescribes as normal, or the government prescribes, or our church prescribes, or our parents prescribe, our boss prescribes, or to a lesser degree, even the cultural expectations of our society, our friends, our neighbors, our siblings, or even our ancestors, or the story of history. History has a way of obligating us to things. When we look at the Old Testament, we easily see life from God's view. Over and over again, people do stupid things that end up getting themselves and future generations in trouble. It amazes me, I'm assuming it amazes all of us, that anyone could make such bad choices, especially when they saw the outworking of them of that same choice either a generation or two before. I think one of the reasons God gave us the Old Testament is to highlight that God's ways work and that man's ways are a failure. I get a lot of motivation out of the unprofitable servant. Jesus talked about the man that did what was required of him, and he said, "I'm just an unprofitable servant. I only did what was required." I think if we view life correctly, that's all the better we can do. We have nothing to brag about if we get it all right. And yeah. He wasn't gloating over his accomplishments. He wasn't fearful that he missed something. He was at peace that only a small part of life was up to him, and he was leaving the rest to God. So I'm thinking of living in the Spirit and how it makes us free from the law of sin and death. I liked James Parizeau's description in his testimony as letting what God wants guide my life. We can try to plan out and connive how we are going to work our lives out, Or we can realize that following the plan which the designer of the universe has for us is more comprehensively good, or good in every way. We may not understand what that plan includes, but we can conclude to do what we can to follow it. So I realized I wanted to have more examples and scriptures and stuff to go along with this, but hopefully we can. I want to go through Romans 8 after I get to the end here. So what does living in the Spirit look like? Look at yourself as a shell, something that holds something else. The thing inside animates the outside. So the scriptural, the Greek word for spirit is also translated breath, and the definition is basically something that animates something else. God allows us to animate and fill ourselves if we want to. We can make our own choices and be lost in our own little world. Or we can ask God to animate us, to live our lives believing that He is animating us. In Him we live and move and have our being. It is so easy to get distracted from God living in us by the choices right in front of us. Don't stop looking to God. Keep letting Him move you even when you can't tell if what is working out is for sure God or not. God knows how to make his will clear if He wants to and when He wants to. God is the one in charge of the process. Remember, His ways work, and He knows how to make it happen. Don't think that it's impossible for you to do any certain thing. I think as soon as we say, I can't do this, I think it highlights that we're not viewing Christ living in us. God is living in you, and He can do all things. Allow Him the chance to work the humanly impossible through you, because that will highlight God living in you. Don't let avoiding sin control your life. Let reality, God's view of life, inform your thinking in every place of temptation. God cannot be tempted with evil. Wherever the temptation is affecting you, that part of you is not Christ in you. Again, it's so easy to get bound up in what I would call the law. I must, I need to, I should, I have to. Those are not life-giving motivations that God has for us. When temptation comes, let this mind be in you. Take a step away from yourself and recalibrate. This is how God sees this. His way works. He lives in me. Here's what He will do through me. So I have a couple examples to try to help you see how I find it helpful to overcome temptation. So a person hurt me, and I want to show them how bad I feel. But then I recalibrate. God loves that person, and it's sad they hurt me. I can love them and let love overcome hate. Or another example. I see an immodestly dressed person, so I recalibrate. God loves that person. He created them. He calls them beautiful. I can worship God for the beauty He created in that person and pray that God would protect them and help them to learn to veil their beauty for the purpose God created it for. Or three, I see an amazing tree or person or health or prosperity, whatever it is that is great, and I am tempted to worship it. And if I recalibrate, God created that thing. He is an amazing creator. He deserves worship for what He has done. I can worship God for His work in this world. And never think that because it feels good, it must be temptation and not be God's will. God has created good all around us. We can feel good even in persecution, which is obviously even in the unnatural things that would feel hard, we can find pleasure in them if that's what God has for us. And try to bring this out in another way. Think about God's plan as you would your parents. And I realized as I was studying here that maybe some of the young people or children here will be helped by thinking through this in regard to their parents, not just God. What is more important to your parents? For you to do the right thing or for you to have the right perspective? For you to follow the family rules or for you to help family life work out? For you to endure through all the family rules till you move out? Or for you to see the value of the family rules in making you into a mature adult? For you to interact as a servant that does as you're told? Or for you to interact as a partner who is helping the family to succeed? It is necessary at times to do things without understanding the reason. In fact, I think it's often necessary. If we always had to know why, we would spend our lives in limbo, not being able to live, because we don't understand anything, or because we don't understand everything. If we have to have it all figured out, we can't live, because all of our understanding is lacking something. But that's not what your parents' end goal is, and neither is it God's end goal. We should gladly do immediately without understanding what we are told. This is brute obedience. But that is way easier if we know there is a good reason why we are being told. If we know that there's a good reason why we are being told, that is faith. And all the joy that comes when that faith becomes sight, and we understand how it all ties together. That might have to wait till eternity for most things, but it's worth believing in. So God wants and your parents want to walk you through the process of maturity for the benefit of everything good and for the destruction of everything evil. So if we can turn to Romans 8, I think if we think about Christ living in us and filling up our body and Him making the choices in our lives instead of us trying to figure it out, I think it There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When I think of that righteousness, I think of a comprehensive good that has no lack. I think that the Jews tried really hard to do that by following a law, and it never worked out. It seems like as soon as we start trying to fulfill a set of rules, we end up get our heart is focused on the wrong thing and we end up failing. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I think if we view ourselves with that shell and it's either the Spirit living in us or our flesh, or you could say the devil living in us, we can realize that it's working towards death if it's not God living in us. Let's move on to verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. I feel like it's really easy to fall into this feeling of condemnation if we feel like, I know that I mess up, and so Christ must not be in me. Well, if we're messing up, Christ is not in us in that moment. But he wants to be, and when he's in control of our lives, we don't fail. I view it as more volatile than I think. It's easy to feel like we're either in or we're out, but I think to realize that our flesh is controlling us when we sin, and the Spirit's controlling us when we do what's right. I guess I think of this verse more as, if Christ be in you, the body is death because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Instead of thinking of it as a once and done thing, because at least I haven't found it to be experienced that way. But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And I think I just started thinking more about what the relationship between a child and a partner, like in the sense that a son usually takes on the family business. The children inherit the things from their parents, and to realize that God wants to partner with us. He wants to work together with us, and he wants to be the life that works in us, to come out of us. So I don't know. I realize that it's not well put together, but maybe I can share more about it in the future. But I want to see Christ living in each one of us. And I think feelings like we have to is so combats that life-giving power that comes through the aspects of God giving us the privilege of partnering with him. So God bless each one of you.